welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
How did you feel about Gather Round, Andy?
I have to take the L on the concept overall. It's been really successful. Not a huge fan. I'm playing an AFL game on a soccer pitch. I'm not sure. Although it's a lovely ground, and you know how I feel about old stadiums. So I enjoyed that part of it. And of course, the AFL being the AFL had to speculate on having three gather rounds because... Nothing really emphasises the uniqueness and specialness of something by flogging it to death until you get sick of it.
Didn't we just learn that this with the Big Bash League, right?
Oh, yeah. Good analogy. But yeah, it was kind of, it was, look, I can handle it once a year. And I have to reject my natural grumpiness of any change that to anything that has us playing at anything but 11 home games a year at Punt Road. But yeah.
At the MCG.
The MCG. But sorry, in front of the...
in front of the faithful.
Just showing my natural bias there that it's not football unless you're sitting at the Punt Road end, which of course is not where I sat in the 2017 Grand Final, so I shouldn't complain. But the game itself was a bit melancholy. Like I said to you offline, it was... You know, we got off to an early, a strong start, and it was like we game planned well for the Saints, and eventually they sort of ground us down, and the natural
they did. I had a third quarter surge that honestly felt familiar from some of our other games. I did sort of stepping back from the margin of the scores. I was thinking, we scored 33 points in the first half. Like that's not very many. It was a very low scoring.
Doubt. Yeah, it was a great game for people who love intercept marks.
Yeah, and look, it was a terrible game for key forwards taking contested marks. There were hardly any of them across the day. On both teams, really, but a lot of pretty exciting goals from the pockets, partly because the pockets were pretty shallow. But it did feel like you really needed some magic to make something happen a lot of the time.
Which is into Shea Bolton, who was, I think, easily best on ground, was best on ground on the AFL ratings, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 10 votes from the coaches. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, you might be saying, but Nick and Andy, you know, the game was really close and we had two smothered goals in the last few minutes. So we could have won. Like, frustrating, yes, but we're also operating off the expected shot metrics, which depending on which one you use was a 4-5 goal loss. So that's kind of, and to be honest, it kind of felt like that watching it. We were brave.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's...
We were competitive.
Yeah, we were competitive. And you know, not to be forgotten, it was Sam Mitchell who said it in an interview on Monday, I believe it was, when he was talking about Uze. So coach, he said, he's a good coach and you can see it because the team's really competitive. Despite having a massive injury list, which is a nice thing of Sam to say. Obviously, he used to coach with Uze. Mm. Also, you know, not exactly speaking from the lofty heights of the most credible AFL coach himself, having a tough season. Mm. But
he's a credible AFL figure.
Yeah, totally. Mm. And look, you know, not to be forgotten, there are four really bad teams in the AFL right now. Mm. And we haven't played any of them.
We're playing one of them this week.
We'll come back to that, yeah. But like, it hasn't been the hardest start, but it's been a pretty tough start. So,
well, and we literally have the longest injury list in the AFL on Monday. Like it is,
yeah.
The difference in that game with having Bolter and Lynch as our two key forwards instead of Lefau and Cozzy, that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, I think even one of them would have been really big. And having a one more second tier mid, Prestia perhaps. One of the two I think would have helped. So it's not like it was a performance without merit, but it did, like when I said it felt familiar, it did feel a bit like how we would just, when we were good, that's, it felt a bit like, you know, the good team, and they're not nearly as good as we were when we were good, but they're still,
no,
you know, they're probably a top eight team with King, who is, you know, just incredible. Because even it, when his radar was off, which it was against us, he still, he dominates play, and our entire defense.
I thought we did a pretty good job on him.
Yeah, but, totally. But he's got a huge amount of weight, right? Like the amount of effort, like
gravity.
We're putting a lot of effort into stopping him. So the game did have a natural gravity which asserted itself over time against our pluckiness and Bolton's incredible, like, you know, it was kind of Bolton who was keeping us in it.
But, brilliant.
Yeah, but full credit to him. I think we can go, according to the champion data ratings, we can take out Bolton, and I think this is reflective of the game, that the because the big blokes always had a chance to get to the contest. It was Nank and Marshall were the two most, according to the champion data ratings, were the two second and third best players on the ground, and they kind of had a duel where they were both very important for their teams. I was very complimentary of Nank's game afterwards. By some metrics, Marshall beat him, but to his credit, you know, Nank did have more hitouts to advantage and was incredible. And a lot of time they weren't actually playing directly on each other. So it was a very Nank game, actually, where his stats were great. It was old school Nank, where his stats were great and his opponents were great.
Well, he was doing a lot of dropping back into defensive 50. Like, he had 8 intercepts, which is twice as many as Marshall had. So, yeah, I thought he... And look, maybe they each had a half when they were on top, but Nank was very good.
It was very Spider-Man memey, though, to go to something we said.
Yeah. It's familiar with that. Andy, is it, speaking of Ruckman, is it a sensitive topic to ask about Ivan Soldo on the weekend? Particularly the comments from the... potentially lubricated family relative after the game?
This is a very difficult topic for me, as you know.
I know. That's why I asked. I wanted to see if you were comfortable
talking about it. My honest reaction was...
Look, and for people who haven't seen it, Soldo was doing an interview after the Port Adelaide win, and one of his relatives came up and yelled, "How do you like that, Richmond?"
Nick, I refer you back to a best and fairest count many years ago when we played together on the same team. And my best ever performance in the best and fairest on that team was in a year that you did a lot of the voting in the games.
That story can't check out.
And maybe you had nothing to do with it, but if your family doesn't back you in and think you're the best player in the AFL at your position, who will? So,
that is a good point. So, my reaction to it was honestly the difference between, even just in the St Kilda game, Dan Butler, who, you know, was happy to see him get a 3-year contract, versus Jack Higgins walking out on the club. I feel very differently about those two, and Soldo for me is much more the Dan Butler category than Jack Higgins.
Yeah, like, Jack Higgins is enemy number one, and it hurt me deeply that he kicked two really important goals. But, and good segue back to the game, but I will say, it almost hurt me slightly that Richmond fans didn't boo him at all, because it felt like...
Oh, no, they did. When he was lining up for his first goal, they certainly
when
did.
When we played Port.
Oh, no, Soldo. Sorry,
oh, no, yeah, and Higgins is rightfully booed, but I almost kind of... Like, I want it to matter. Yeah. Like, I would have been fine if Richmond fan... Like, obviously, I would never boo him. I still barrack for him. Like, I, if you want, I can give you a 5-minute dissertation on his battle against Draper and Goldstein, because I watched every moment of that sucker. But I'm fine with it. Like...
I think a lot of the lack of booing reflects that while you're intensely interested, that the majority of Richmond fans have pretty fond memories of the big fella, and if asked, can easily flash back to him to his goal in the third quarter of the 2019 Grand Final.
Yeah, fair enough. And look, you can't actually blame. Like, he had a legitimate playing time reason to go. Like, the reason we don't resent Butler is because he was struggling to get in the team towards the end, and we remember that. We've probably gone too long on, you know. just for a change, we've talked about Soldo for too long, but the last thing I'll say about that video, if anyone has seen it, the funniest bit is when Soldo realizes he made a terrible mistake in handing the mic over to encouraging BT to interview his family. Like, there's a moment where his face drops in horror.
What did you think about Cozzy as backup run?
So Cozzy was one of the ones I wanted to talk about. I don't think he's going to be a fan favorite, because his body language, he does stuff when the ball's not directly around him. He has this very flat-footed way of running and positioning, which he doesn't look like he's trying off the ball, which is not necessarily fair, but it's just his body language. And he's very good at self admonishment. I mean, he kicked a crucial goal at halftime. That was great. He occasionally contests down the line. He did actually do one nice tap to Dusty that set up, I think it was a goal, but it was definitely a shot at goal. So he's okay. He's not great at boundary line taps, as those forward rucks often aren't. But look, it's... What is he? He's probably our fourth option. He is our fourth option, because obviously Bolter was first, Samson was third, and they're both not getting picked for different reasons. One case injury, and so he's the fourth option. You know, I really think we need a young ruck. We thought that last season, and we still do. But hopefully, the young kid from South Australia will fix his back.
Yep. He had his moments in preseason. One of the things that has been an unambiguous success of the still extremely young Adam Uze era is that there seems to be some young players coming through.
And that's a very exciting conversation. I just want to make that, because he didn't get a single uncontested possession on the weekend.
He's not the most explosive athlete. And it was playing in a phone box, so maybe that sort of compounded his weaknesses.
Indeed, but yes, most exciting player. Well, I think people who are in the Richmond enough in the Richmond sphere to be listening to this podcast are probably well aware of the Tom Brown hype. What's your take on it?
Oh yeah, well you. You know, I've been a Tom Brown believer for a while. Particularly his form in the second half of the last year. Because, his first season in the VFL, definitely some a bit disappointing. Potentially some questions over his adjusting to the professionalism of top level footy. And then he was out for the whole first half of last season, and before, finally stringing together some really good footy in the VFL. Decent in pre-season, but he's really building nicely. Another career high in disposals with 18, and some of those disposals. He's a really nice kick.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
So there's
kicking is standing out at as much at AFL level as it did at VFL level, which is that's an achievement.
I actually think, I reckon it looks better because he's not kicking the plumbers. You just know that you can judge someone's kicking better at an AFL level. Like, it's not that his kicking's actually got better, but I think it stands out more.
They always try and play through him in the VFL, which does say something.
No doubt. I mean, he was definitely a very good kick, but I wasn't expect like him.
Oh, the kick.
So there's an article
in the Herald. Kicking board to Dusty.
Sorry.
Whew. Oh god, I needed a light.
There's a TikTok video that said that you that one of the kick from the week before, that one of the kicks was so good that you would have been drowned in Louisiana in the 1940s for even watching that, which thought was quite a good line. So there is no Herald Sun article yesterday, I believe, that they have this Champion Data has this effective kick ratio that adjusts for the difficulty of kicks. Right now, he's the second best player in the AFL on that metric. Now,
small sample size. I would say, guess how many abound, but yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Nick, guess how many kicks Tom Brown has had in the AFL thus far?
43?
26. So, I think actually this is a case where don't read the stats, just watch the tape. And the tape looks great.
Hey.
But by the way, on that metric, by the way, the story should have actually been about Pickett, Melbourne's Pickett, because he's off the chart first. Huh. Guess who's third on that metric? And he's like on one percentage point away from Tom Brown.
Richmond player.
It's not a Richmond player, but it is someone who's linked to Tom Brown forever. It's Jacob Van Roo.
Oh, really?
So,
oh, no, I would not have gone
there. Yeah, look, it's too early in the year. It's a metric that's a funny one. I haven't quite made my mind up about it. But the point is, he's getting plenty of hype about his kicking. And
Can I just say in defense of my estimate of 43 for his total... career kicks. I included his game from Port Adelaide last year, which brings it up to 38.
Sorry, I was talking about the sample size that metric was based
on. Oh, yeah,
on,
yeah.
Did I say career?
It's 2024.
By the way, he has, in defence view, he has 41 disposals, so, this year, again. But yeah, it's sexy, and at the moment, actually, as evidenced by this, I'm looking forward. I'm already calling for him to be part of the kick out. Kicking out.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but I reckon we'll pull the trigger on that soon. Mm.
No, absolutely. Ben Miller's a better kick than Tyler Young, and Tom Brown is a much better kick than Ben Miller. Like if you're trying to rank some of the talls, I mean Blossy's very good in that role as well, but it's a pretty short list. He's going really well. I did have his defensive work, which was probably more of a questions, holding up pretty well. I think when Seth Campbell, who also had a career high in disposals. Got run down in the first half sometime. It made me realise how rare it's been that he's actually made a mistake.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a comeback to earth game. He still had 18 touches, but he had
some nice moments.
He did, but he did have some moments where his calendar showed. So it was kind of not forget last week the hype was about old Nick Vlosten. Vlossy had a come down to moment, a few of them did, and it's very understandable for Seth.
I thought he did some pretty good work, and that goal sequence he was involved in, I think the first quarter where he was bursting down the wing, that was really nice. I'm very fond of him. Morris Rioli Jr. as well. Had some absolutely stunning moments.
It's funny. Like he came a bit down to earth on his how many times he got the ball, but on the other hand, he kicked two goals. So,
yeah, and really good, useful goals, like one from nice mark and set shot, another one finishing off a handball, but yeah, and he had that absolute laser-like tackle in the third quarter as well. Like, it was a pretty good game for him. Mansell was the only one of the small forwards who I thought was disappointing. Because Sonsi had moments as well.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about Sonsi, because I can't quite make my mind up. Like, I want him to succeed, so every time he kind of halves a contest, I perhaps slightly overrate it. But did you sort of... You know, he's going all right.
Mm.
How many he had? I think he had 13.
Yeah, nearly had two goals in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. And still, I'm glad we're persevering with him.
Yeah.
Not that we have that much of a choice, to be honest.
You know, no, but...
Before mentioning the injury list.
I think his skills are good, so, you know, he's okay in under such extreme pressure. But, yeah, I think a bit of time and space on the MCG doesn't hurt him at all.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably not the best. Playing in a wind tunnel is probably not the best. Well, a tunnel, not a wind tunnel.
It was actually a good game to show how skilled AFL players are sometimes. I feel like they got the hang of the wind to the right of screen and reasonably well.
Yeah, Nick. Since we're kind of on the young players, we obviously, like, I think Kane's debut went pretty much how we expected. Of course, the Battle of the Somme injury list continues. Well,
the 5 minutes of it where he cracked in hard. oh my god!
So yeah. Nick, I wanted to talk about a favourite topic of mine, which last week in our loving review of the game, Emergency Podcast, the one thing we didn't bring up was Banks was quite useful as a sub, came on quite late.
Yeah.
In both games, I wanted Uze to play the sub earlier, but I will just say, I thought Kane could have come on earlier in the third when the game was slipping away, but what happened the week before, Nick? Just recounting this, poor Uze has dealt with so many injuries.
Mm.
He waits till the last possible moment to play the Banks card, and then he subs off a key forward, and then like a minute later, his other key forward gets injured.
Yep.
Like, this is happening early. These are formative moments in a coaching career. I think we're going to see conservative sub use for a while now from Uze because, he hasn't had the best luck. And of course, this week, what happens? He puts on a sub. I guess your sub getting injured, that's, you can't control that, but
no.
Can't catch a trick with injuries.
No, not at all. It's pretty depressing. Baker's back from suspension, which is unambiguously a good thing. There's talk Grimes may or may not be fit this week, but I don't see a need to rush him back.
No, I mean, whose spot does he take? Tyler Young's?
Yeah. Oh, and I thought, I've been critical of Tyler Young, but I thought he was better this week.
Yeah. Another tedious week of Dusty stories, Nick, but, I thought...
He was really good in the first half.
He was, and his point is, a few people pointed out he's having low stats in the second half of games. We'll point out he hasn't actually played... That was the first full game he played, because remembering that even the games he has played, the club announced afterwards that he copped a corky in the calf late in the first game he played, I think, and then he was managing it. So, like, you can't make sample sizes from this year of Dusty yet.
No.
I did kind of look at his numbers to see, just on such a limited sample size, and his contested possession slightly down. Disposable effectiveness is about where it was, because I was wondering, is he grubbering more than he used to? But now there's nothing. Like, you can't genuinely make any... So. Well, I was just interested, because he did grubber a few on the weekend. I was thinking, am I imagining this? There's no evidence it's becoming systemic, and that's partly a low sample... That's my entirely a low sample size thing. But I was thinking at halftime, like, oh God, I hate doing it, Nick, but I just have to say it. How miserable would you have to be to not want Dustin Martin to play football as long as possible?
I know. I feel it's the football media industrial complex at its worst.
It is. But anyway, I really liked, I retweeted it, but I liked that the Western Australian and the Channel 7 News is just hyping up hot young prospect. I like it though. Like, it's just positive, young star against the aging veteran, but it's fun. It's positive. It's about good players playing each other. It's
and the, look, God knows selling West Coast games is a tough gig.
I am completely, it's a positive story. I'm all for it.
Yep. Earlier in the year I thought Jaden Short was a bit off his best, but he had nearly 700 metres gained on the weekend, and I thought he looked very much like himself. Yeah, Taranto's going well. Ditto for Dan Rioli and Jack Ross. Like, it's a solid but not exciting team.
Yeah. Jaden Short doesn't look as good without Tom Lynch.
No, that's true.
The other point, Jack Ross had 13 contested possessions, if I recall, to his credit. So good on him. Midfield was, Taranto was good, but yeah, we did sort of lose the midfield battle.
And look, Dow, on your argument about the sub, like Dow rolled an ankle, but then was okay, then maybe he wasn't. And
yeah. Look, he was brave, and I was kind of watching him like a hawk because, you know, to suit my narrative of we should bring McAuliffe on early.
McAuliffe on.
But, like, he was all right. He did a few things, but he was laboured.
Yep. I think that was Camden McIntosh is averaging a career low in disposals.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, he hasn't dropped off a cliff, but he can do better.
Yeah, he'd be, I think we had this conversation a few weeks ago, if you're starting to play the kids, which we've had to do anyway, you know, we're at 10 kids under, 10 players under 50 games at the moment, you don't want to get too much above 11, and once you get to 12, you just you're completely uncompetitive, as a general rule, you know, generalizations going on there. But yeah, he'd be high on my list of if we're going to play a bit more youth, that maybe he'd be one we'd think about cycling in and out of the team. Oh, do you want to say anything about Ben Miller, who was again quite respectably solid?
Yeah,
hats off.
Oh, that was pretty much my note.
Hats off to Ando, who did an online Twitter poll about has Richmond found a defender of the future and Ben Miller, and the vote was, I think, 49-51%. I can't remember which way it went, but it was several hundred people voted, so I think that's the right call at the moment, not to be sure, because it's still a small sample size, but he's playing better than I expected, and he's not a young guy, so good on him.
No, that's right. He's exceeded the reasonably low expectations we had for him, I think. So, yeah, it's something. We haven't talked about Lafau at all.
Yeah, he was okay, you know. Nice kick for goal.
Yeah.
He competed, but he had
one contest I saw where he really brutalised someone, and I hope we see more of that.
Yeah,
I think we will.
I think so. I think still it's hard to calibrate expectations, because games played it should be extremely low, but age, of course, we have higher expectations. And I'm very much prepared to spend judgment for more weeks, but I agree it'd be nice to see him to bring that athletic ability more to the physical side, because he's very much a mark kick player at the moment with a bit of extra.
Look, and his contesting wasn't bad. He occasionally gets stepped around, which I was quite surprised, but maybe that's just him sort of not reading the play.
Fair point.
Before we talk about the Eagles, so the VFL had the bye, but Port Melbourne is our...
Can I, by the way, Nick, last week I did I noted that Hugo Rasmuth was just going, and his stats, he only played that a half game in that, so I just like to apologise to Hugo Rasmuth.
put that on the record. Yeah, I think it was one of the emergencies this week. So, the Port Melbourne in there is 3-0 in VFLW with Stella Reid going very nicely. Among there's only a few of the younger Richmond players playing, but both our draft picks, Izzy Bacon and Mackenzie Ford, and they're both kind of living up to reputation. Bacon's been solid without being outstanding, and Ford has more tackles than.
Sorry, I've lost you. Anyway, go on.
Ford is averaging 7.5 tackles a game, which is more than the 6 disposals a game she's averaging. So, yeah.
I wonder if Maurice Rioli Jr. is mentoring her.
Yeah. But yeah, nice that they're going. They had Elise Sheeran play on the weekend, which seems. Maybe she wanted to run, but you know why you would want an all Australian level player running around in the VFL? Who knows? But there we go.
Interesting. West Coast.
Yes. So, you know, one of the things I like to do. Well, you know, one of my favourite things in the whole world is the Footy Wire website. And when I'm researching an opposition team, one thing I'll do is go to their statistical rankings page. And there's an extremely long list of things where the Eagles rank 18th, including kicks per game, disposals, points scored per game, hit-outs, clangers, least disposal. Opponent disposals per game, disposal differential, mark differential, score differential, and a bunch of other things where they're 16th and 17th. The one thing they're really outstandingly good at is least opponent clangers per game, which is actually a bad stat.
Jesus. And you know what? On the weekend, they weren't that yet.
They were pretty competitive. Yeah,
they also weren't that young. Like, they were young. But they had 10 players under the age of, with less than 50 games, which is the same as we did.
Yeah. They did also break even in inside 50s with Swans, which is actually a big step forward for them. But, yeah, they're not going well.
No, they're not. And their injury list, they have Dom Sheed's.
Yeah, lengthy.
Dom Sheed's coming, probably, I think, played in the VFL this week. By the way, just while we're talking team tactics, I did have a look at ours after we had that discussion last week about us marking more. Take it back, like, over the season, we're a low possession team, much less marks than our opposition. If it wasn't for West Coast, we'd be hitting the bottom in some of those metrics. The tactical shift, if there is one, hasn't been fully. It's hard to find a noticeable change in the game plan on our own stats, despite what the Sydney game said. Yeah, there. But back to West Coast. Jesus, yeah. This is their big chance, right? They're closer and the better. They were $11 underdogs last week, and this week they're sort of, I think it's in the threes. I haven't checked the latest.
Yeah,
but it's a big chance for them. It's actually quite an interesting game.
I mean, in a broader context. A late Sunday afternoon game between two clubs that are struggling. I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see how we go. Like, we've got a big Western Australian contingent on the team, and some of those guys do play well over there, and I think they do take it, take it seriously, playing in front of friends and family. And the club does a good job, with supporting families on those sort of interstate trips. But yeah, I think given it's been a tough start to the season, I think a good win would provide a lot of positive reinforcement for what Uze's trying to do. And yeah, I think we can do it. The Eagles midfield against ours is sort of going to be that's going to be I think, where they can be competitive, because their forward goal kicking power, particularly without Oscar Allen, isn't great. They've still Jack Darling still going around. I've got youngsters like Jack Williams and Ryan Marich. Yeah, it's really, midfield of, Kelly, Elliot Yeo, Duggan, plays more off half back. Harley Reid definitely had some moments on the weekend, and Ginby's a sort of very hard at it midfielder as well. So yeah, there's bits and pieces there, but
Yeah, so
we should win.
out of interest, guess so top thus far in the season, top rated players on the Eagles, just to give you an idea of how their rebuild's going. Who do you think it is? You're probably yep,
Elliot
Eddie years
Yeo?
old. Beforementioned Tim Kelly,
Yep.
29.
Mc
McGovern is their
McGovern.
fourth rated player at 31, and Jaden Hunt is their third, fills in the top four at Akello 29,
That's a bit depressing.
is quite extraordinary how bad they've been. Also, does give them a core that could make them competitive.
It's and so yeah, I mean, some of those guys can really play, but it's sort of also, the are they going to be excited to really have a crack and have a win in front of their fans, right?
By the way, just
Yeah.
in sorry, Nick, to continue this pointless bit of research I'm doing, but the average age, just going down the Richmond players who that our top four, the ages are 25, 26, 27, and 26, which is Bolton, Baker, Hopper, and Rioli. So yeah, I mean, a late 20s players are the core of any AFL team, but yeah, they are old and not very good. Not old, but
No, and look, you can see the glimpses of the next generation coming through. Like Chess is another one who's a fairly highly rated youngster. They'll be better when they get Matt Flynn back in the team, and Bailey Williams is a backup. But yeah, they're very much in transition. But we're vulnerable. Long injury list. Playing a second game interstate in a row. Yeah, it
it could
could be
be.
a tough
Anyway,
game.
I'm still in the discovery phase with this Richmond team, so I'm enjoying the games, or through, perhaps not. It's not life or death.
No, it isn't, and but it is. It has been fun, even Certainly parts of the games, if not the results.
There has been. And you know, you sort of...
Yeah.
I feel for Uze a bit, because in his heart of hearts, if you gave him truth serum, you'd probably, just looking at the season thus far, had Tom Lynch been fit, which is a big if, but had he, and the injury at least otherwise not been so catastrophic, you know, like this team could have won a final. And maybe that's hubris, and I wouldn't say that next week, but just, it's an okay team. All right, well,
I agree.
I think that's the most we can get out of out of this game. So, on a positive note.
Look, I think playing at Perth suits our style of play. So, yeah, I think we could put it on our show.
I'm Andy.
I'm Nick. We're Richmond Tiger Talk.